What many people don't know about or forgotten, you're going to see tonight, the graciousness of God. Come on up, Peter.
Anyway, my name is Peter Lott. Let me give me 1 minute to set it up, this computer. Because modern technology is a wonderful thing. Most of you agree with me, right? Right. How many of you texting? That's it, just two of you? Baloney. Okay. Ta-da. Oh, God is good. Anyway, I'm from was in Kansas City, and then I moved to Houston, become a cowboy, can you see? Cowboy boots and all. I love cowboy boots. Now, we need a horse. If you have anybody who's got a horse, that's fine. We'll take him home with us. Anyway, no, I was a pastor in Kansas City in International House of Prayer. Then God took me out and put me to the nations. And so now we have a forerunner ministries. And usually I go all over the world giving my testimony because it's so important to lead people about forgiveness. Because most of us don't even have a clue what really forgiveness is unless you learn how to forgive with your heart. Deep heart. And we're not talking just, oh, I'm sorry, honey, because I forgot the diamond, I promise you. No, you have to go down on your knees and suit your heart. Why did you tell her that and you never brought that diamond to her? But no, but the deep pain. Would you be able to forgive the one who abused you, the one who raped you, the one who beat you? Because if we hold that inside of us, we will never get healed physically, emotionally, or spiritually. We have to obey God's law. And if we do not, then we will fall short. But imagine someone steal 20 years out of your life. I'm talking steal from you. Your childhood. Your all adult life, you go and then wonder what happened if I was young, what would happen if I have mama or daddy and so forth, how that would be. Because it will eat you up inside like a cancer. Therefore, we're going to have to talk about, we have to open, we have to give our own testimony to one another so that we can set ourselves free. Even Yeshua on a cross, when he was hanging over there, he had to say something like this. Abba, Abba, forgive them because they do not know what they're doing. He himself had to ask the Father, Father, forgive them because we do not know what we're doing. And we have to admit ourselves. A lot of times we're going from churches to churches. We're going from cathedral to cathedral. We're searching. We go from man to man. And nothing's happening. But there's a very simple solution. We have to open our heart and see what really happens. In Mark 11, 25, 26, say, and however you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him that your Father in heaven might also forgive you trespass. But if you do not forgive, neither will the Father in heaven forgive you trespass. Oh, but some of you might say, but you don't understand, we have Jesus. Excuse me, Jesus is one who's saying it. Are we listening what he really says? Do we even understand what he even means by that? But if you do not forgive, neither will the Father in heaven forgive you trespass. How simple it is to forgive, to pray for your enemy. Because he's asking us in this Bible as we're reading it, that in Matthew he speaks about it. Pray for your enemy. Do them good so that I can bless you. How can you be blessed when you never can forgive? I will take you on a journey the way I went through my life and then later on I have to forgive. So that I could be forgiven. I have the right to be bitter and angry and hateful. But no, if I want to be happy and joyful and peaceful so I can be a good husband to my wife and to my children, I have to learn how to forgive. How, if I want to receive blessing from God, I have to know how to forgive. I'm like you, I had a mother. She was 3 months pregnant with me when she was put in a death camp, a place called Stutthof. Most of you never heard Stutthof. Stutthof became a massive camp, have own SS headquarters. Himmler visited Stutthof regularly because it was a women camp, and they did experimentation. They made soap out of human body. I see you have a couple of children. How many children we have here? Could you cover the eyes, parents, please? I will tell you when, and then not right now. I'll tell you when, and then I'll tell you to open, okay? But just before he left Stutthof, Himmler gave exactly the order to kill as many people as possible. Commander says, I will do so. But if I would ask you, name some of the death camps for me. Come on. You see, first thing I hear, Auschwitz. Like that, that's only camp that exists. Go ahead, next one. Come on. Okay, keep on. Dachau. Okay. What else? Treblinka. What else? How about a 1,600? But how about a 1,600? That's not including what? Russia and Africa. You see, that's what it's all about. Because those are just some of these major camps. That's just only major camps. But the sub camps was all over. Labor camps. And so forth. 1,600. That whole land is filled with blood. Would you be able to forgive? How old you have to be in a death camp? Look at those two. That could be your grandparents or your grand-grandparents. How young you have to be. Look at this little boy laying there. They will cut his skull. They will fill him with drugs. They give him tattoo. Hope for hope that he survives for this time, for this season, so that he could give his testimony. And they came by the millions. You have no clue what million people is. When we fill this church, maybe with 300-400 people, we think, wow. But millions, 5 millions. How about 6 million of Jews? How about 20 million with other people? How about the Poles, the Russian, the Czech, the Bulgarian, the Yugoslavian, the Romanian, so forth and so forth? Would you be able to forgive? Now, how about the black people in Africa? Nobody speaks about them. How about the Muslims who went to the death camp? Today, a lot of Muslim people say, this never happened. Excuse me? A lot of them went through Stutthof, Auschwitz, and so forth. We have to honor every single soul who died in those death camps. How about American people? How about an American soldier? That we, today, we can even say, gee, I honor the soldier who died in Second World War, who laid their lives to liberate those people. How about the British? How about the Poles, the French? How about the Russians? Would you be able to forgive? They put in places like this live. And more came. Imagine to stand in a boxcar with the families like this for weeks, months at a time, where would you thank the staff for a glass of water or go to the bathroom? You just stood there in your own filth. Would you be able to forgive the crippled ones that were instantly put to death because they were nuisance? People showing the tattoos. Most of you think, well, do you have tattoo in your arm? Which way? We have to know which camp they came from. Some of them get across the stomach. Some got across the chest. Some got across the arms, underneath the arms. Depends where you came from. Children showing the tattoos before they went to the ovens. Women, they cut their hairs, they weave blankets for the German soldier. And then they took gasoline and benzene and they set them on fire. Could you cover the eyes now, please? This is the result of those women burn. Starvation, experimentation on children. How many of you have been hungry? Keep the eyes closed. I tell you when to let them go. Do you know what hunger really is? This is a hunger. You starve. You can hardly walk. You can even drink water. Shrinking heads. They took cut the women's heads and they make shrink. They put water in the Baltic Sea, got the temperature dropped 50 below zero. So they put a metal plate that made those women stand. And then in 30 minutes, the feet was frozen. And then the SS officer came, pushed one after the other. This is the result. Imagine the flesh is separated from the toes. The pain, the suffering. Would you be able to forgive? Children, every pregnant woman came, they pulled the babies out of his mother's womb. And they took a pistol, start shooting at him. And the little ones, they pull a head over the head and threw right in the ovens. They put a bucket of water. If you can drink it, drink it. If you can, you can. And more dead. Everywhere you look at it, every camp was different. Dead by freezing, dead by firing squad, and more dead bodies, as far as I could see. That's the result of it. And then they pick up those bodies and they introduce us to the ovens. You can open the eyes if they want to. And then, did you ever smell human being burned? Did you ever hear the scream? Auschwitz ovens. Ovens for children. And human ash. Who could do something like that? Are we capable of doing this today? Let's ask ourselves the honest questions. Yes, we are. We're killing each other. Yes, we go to church. Yes, we worship Jesus. Yes, we go into all of those things, but yet we can kill human beings at the same time as those people then. They went to church, they kill. Would you be able to forgive? This is questions we have to ask. When me and my mama was in the death camps, the liberators came, they were Russians. The Americans liberated, they brought food. But the Russians brought nothing. And when they were coming, so my mama held me in arms, so they put us in the boxcars and shipped us to Auschwitz. We were liberated near a place called Toruń, Poland. But take a moment for a second. Where do you think we live after the war? How many of you have been in Frankfurt, Germany? Nobody? One, two, three? That's Frankfurt, 1945. City after city bombed out, town after town, cathedrals after cathedrals, church after churches, town after cities in Poland. People have to clean the dead. They have to pull the bodies from the ruins because disease was setting. This is my childhood. This is how I've grown up. Everything is stolen from your childhood. But this Polish lady took me because my mama was on the train station and there was a Polish lady there. And she went to her. She said, would you take this child and I'll be back for him? And she says, yes. And then she flee to Germany. And this is the place where I grew up after the war. This is my matka. She become my mother quickly. I forgot my real mother. She fed me. She clothed me. She gave everything she could. And everything was going wonderful. Then one day, now the Russians came. And there's a knock on the door. There comes the KGB. There comes the police. They take me away from her. They put me in a place like this, children's prison. Today still is children's prison because we get that documentary with the German television. And if everything is like it was before. From there, they put us in an orphanage. Imagine you walk in with the cameras and you see yourself. That's me in an orphanage. Look at those children, wonderfully dressed. But look at those two. Even after the war, first Hitler put the star on David on you. Now the Stalin does the same thing. We have to work all day. And then at night the soldiers came and they took us upstairs and they beat us, tortured us, and raped us. Did you ever see a child rape? You don't want to ever see it. And then we have to walk in a funeral procession every time a soldier died. And then they brought the body to the church. There was a big black angel in the church. And they said, this angel is going to kill you for your father's sin. I never could understand that what that meant. Because we're supposed to kill Jesus. We have to kiss the dead goodbye. And they grabbed us, put it in a casket, they closed the casket and beat on it. You have no clue what that does for a child to lay on a dead body. Would you be able to forgive? But in the meantime, this Polish lady was writing letters with somebody, please help find his mother and father. And then we came home to my Polish matka. Everything was going good until one day. There comes the KGB, there comes the Russian police. And then in the middle of the night, this came for me. And now they're taking us to the train station. And she said, where are you taking? Why are you taking? She said, we're taking with us to the train station. So she pulled a rope and she followed me. I was crying, Matka, Matka, save. And then when we approached, there was a Russian officer and a horse and Mongolian troop. And the only thing you hear like a pistol pop, pow. Because what you see there, that's not flowers, that's an execution wall. That's what they decide to execute all orphans, one after the other. Would you be able to forgive? And as we're approaching closer and closer, and I see that my little friend, Star, who was always with me, they grabbed her by the neck, soldier, put a pistol in the mouth, and she saw me screaming out, Peter, Peter, save, and all of a sudden, explosion, boof. Would you be able to forgive? Now it's your turn. They grab you by the neck. They put a pistol in your mouth. But this Polish matka stood beside me and that soldier and said, take me, let him live. Would you do that for someone who's not your child? Let me ask you that. Would you lay your life for one another? Because that's a commandment of God. And yet we do not obey God's commandment ever. To lay your life for one another. In John 15, it speaks to lay your life for one another. As I lay my life for you, I command you to do. That's a commandment of Yahshua. But yet we will not do that. And she said, take me, let him live. And the soldier followed her home and then raped her. She saved my life because she loved me so much, no matter what's the cause. She was riding to Germany, and then one day, letter arrived from Germany in Baumholde. Baumholde is the biggest military base, American army base. And then this letter arrived. Said something in English, you sisters. Do they look like my sisters? Those are black people. They don't look like me. I figure they belong to somebody else because they have different names. And not even the next day, there comes the KGB. Now I'm age of 14, 15. And they're taking me to real prison. Today still is real prison. They set you down. They're going to ask you two questions. Who do you know in the American army base? Because that time there was a Cold War between Americans and Russians. In moment of no, they didn't care who they killed. They just wanted the true answers. And I couldn't answer them anything. As I do not know. So the... You know what rifle beating is? First hit of your mouth with an AK-47, your teeth will fly out and you pass out. I don't have a teeth that falls. And then over your eyes. And then they break your hands, your knees, your liver, and your kidneys get beaten. And every hit, you just pass out with pain. Would you be able to forgive? How many of you like to be a Jewish? I like to see, raise the hand. Because there's a price to pay all the way from Egypt. Everybody wants to kill Jew. Remember the guy on the cross? The guy named Yahshua? How he died? Brutal death, huh? Do we love Jewish people? Do we care for Jewish people? We have to ask ourselves that. And then more and more beatings. And now the German people's the Red Cross sending letter, we found his mother. We want him back. Now this Polish matka tells me, I'm not your mama. You have mama in Germany. You have to go. She broke my heart. I didn't want to go. And she says, you have to because they're going to kill you. I said, mama, only time I will go unless you go with me. And she said, yes, I will. 1958. We came through Berlin, checkpoint Charlie. Look at the Russian tanks in the back. Look at the American in the front. Now I have to cross the line. Two black soldiers grabbed me. I never seen black person my entire life. Because in Poland, we don't have a black people. And they're holding me. And I was screaming out, Matka, Matka, help me, help me. And she was waving goodbye because she did not have a visa. And then they put me in a jeep and drove off. They went to PX and they bought me bananas, oranges, and a big box of chocolate candy filled with schnapps. Do you know what schnapps is? What is it? Good stuff, huh? Liqueur. Pastor, take the names, please. And pastor says, I want some too. It's a good stuff. You know, and I never seen banana, oranges, and candies. So this black soldier give me a banana, says, eat, eat. I couldn't speak his language because he speak English and I speak Polish and Russian. You know, and so how would you communicate? Only thing say eat. So I grabbed this banana, squeezed the banana, flew on the other end, and I have a mouthful of skin. You want to be a hero tonight? Go home, try eat the skin of banana. It's a nasty stuff. Now the other one gives you the orange. Says, eat, boy. And I took a bite with my two front teeth and was bitter and was nasty. So they put me in that jeep and we're driving from Berlin to Munich. And that time there was Autobahn. You see, the country was divided. There was a Russian sector. And there was an Autobahn from Berlin to West Germany, and you have to go through that Autobahn, and there was a Russian tanks lined up everywhere. And moment of notice, they will open fire. And so as we were going, I started eating the bananas, oranges, and candies, the schnapps, because it was cold, it was winter. If you look at the soldiers, they have leather jackets. So when we're riding in the jeep, I start eating one after the other. In a matter of 30 minutes, that whole thing was gone. So imagine, I never have alcohol. They were 80% proof. And it was giant box. My stomach was going crazy, but my head was spinning like this. Instead of two black soldiers, I see six. And now, you know, my stomach going bloop, 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 because I was human skeleton. I only weighed 60 pounds. Now, my stomach going crazy, and I have to go to the bathroom, so I tapped him on the shoulder and said, przepraszam, panie, ja muszę do bikacji, proszę. Do you have any Polish people here to translate that? No? I mean, excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom, please. So he couldn't understand me, I couldn't understand him. Only thing he says, okay, boy, okay. Okay, banana, okay, orange, okay, candy, maybe it's okay to go in the bathroom in a jeep. So I want to be sure, tapped him again. And he says, okay, okay. So there comes the diarrhea. There comes the smell. Now we can't put the tarp down. It's middle of winter. So what happened, this poor black soldier who was in the front seat across of me, only thing he could do is go like this. Bleak. And he goes, bleak. Now he's looked like a white man from all the puking. And the other one stuck his head out of the window. And we're driving to Munich. And, you know, black people have a beautiful kinky hair. I mean, honestly, you have to face it, beautiful. Some of them don't have it, but some do. Now, give me a five, Rod, on that one. I mean, you should see it. When he did that, they all broke off when we got to Munich because there was salad froze. He looked like Barry. He's just shine, you know, just like, yeah. I got a little more hair than him, you know, but that's how it goes. And then suddenly what happened was, you know, I felt so sorry because those guys were good guys. And now it was time to meet my mama. And this is my mama. When she saw me first time, because you see, when I was angry and bitter at her, when I find out I have really mother, because I couldn't understand why she left me. And I said, when I see so-and-so, I'm going to try to kill her. Even I was a human skeleton. I said, I just want that revenge inside of me. And when I first saw her, she was crying and weeping. And she said, my lieber Peter, forgive me. And I just said, no, come closer so I can squeeze your neck. But then she showed me her body because she was abused same way as I was. Because that came, Stutthof, they made soap out of human body. So imagine what an experimentation she went through. And only thing I could do is embrace her. And then it was time for me to, and I cried and we wept and I don't know for how long. And now it was time to meet my family. See, those are my sisters, Barbara and Georgia. And Barbara was the darker one. You see, because my mama married black soldier. And those are my family now. And so I fall in love instantly. But Barbara was a little devil. You know what I'm talking about, little devil. You know what it is, right? Some of you been or maybe have children like that too, you know. Every time I fall asleep, she opened my eyes, stick a finger in, and I hit for the ceiling. Oh, I want to spank her so badly. But mama, that's an international language. Don't touch my child. Because you see, my mama and I couldn't communicate together because she spoke German and English, and I spoke Polish and a little bit Russian. So how would you communicate? What would you say to one another? And now we have to go to school with the German kids in Germany. But the German kids made fun of me. And they were throwing, you know, cans out of me. They called me the Dom Polak. But I'm a German. I have a German passport. Look, I'm a German. And you know how sometimes people have bullies they can become. And they were calling all kinds of names. And every place I went with my sister, they made fun of us. I didn't know why, because I couldn't understand that language. So I want to go back to Poland. But the time came that they told us I will go to America. And then 1959, September 7, I came to America. And it was so beautiful, everything. New York, for the first time I saw so many buildings, so many cars. I never saw so many people in one place. And it was too much for me. And then when they put us on the train, as soon as I stepped on that train, I felt pain and suffering that will wait for me on the other side where I was going. And we were going south to Georgia. In 1959, black and white was not acceptable. As soon as we stepped out of the train, we were introduced to KKK, to Ku Klux Klan. There comes the beatings, there comes the torture. Exactly the same, there was no any different. I couldn't go to school. Every place I went with my sister, the KKK spit on us. I got in a fight with them, so they took me to police station. They beat the daylight out of me. I didn't want to live. I just want to end everything. But we came from there to Fort Raleigh, Kansas. It's another military base, big one. And my life changed. But still, my stepfather became alcoholic, and I ran away from home. And what happened was, I was picked up by the Sheriff Daniel and a man named Ike Skelton. And Ike Skelton been in White House for about 25, 30 years. And he helped me. He introduced me to better life. He educated me, introduced me to some of the religion. And then I met a new family and I have a new home. And everything was better inside of me. And I forgot my old family. And then, but still I was lonely and home. I got married, got a divorce. And then I moved from California to Florida, where I met my wife. And there she is, Valerie, my wife. She took me as I was. She didn't care who I was. Stand up, honey. We've been 25 years married. We have 8 kids, 11 great kids. You see, whatever the enemy stole from you, but God always replaced. And she gave me a home and gave me opportunity. But I still was lonely. I was lonely for my sisters and my mother. And every year I made it my family miserable because I was not a believer that much. And I always was, I want to know more. And we went to Florida and we were in church and this Yeshua appeared to me. Just like June, just standing before me. And I just like said, oh crap, I'm going to die. Yeah, I said something else, but I've just come closer to crap as it is. And I said, oh crap, I'm going to die. And he's just reaching out and he says, come follow me. I said, no. I said, no, no way. And he says, I have thousands of people. He's talking about the Holocaust survivor. And they say, no. And he says, follow me. Be my mouthpiece. And I felt like, yes, I have to say yes. And I said, yes. Maybe as a fear, maybe as a thing. And I said, just before he was leaving, I says, would you help me find my family? My mother and my sisters. Because 4 years went by. 4 years from that moment. Some of you might look at me, how old is this guy? You know, we're talking. I'm over 68 and let it go, okay? I won't tell you my age. You don't tell me yours. We'll be fine. But anyway, so, you know, all of those years went by. And I says, can you help me, my family? And he just smiled and walked away. I was working on the roof and telephone rang, and I hear the telephone ringing, and my wife answered the phone, and she was running outside, and she was reaching out. She was white as a ghost, and I said, is it bill collectors? She says, no. I said, oh, you got them too? Me too. That honesty. Thank you, God, for somebody. and you know, I says, the kid's okay. Yeah, kid's fine. And I said, anybody died? No. So I came down. And as soon as I walk in inside, she put a chair behind me, and I say hello with suspicious voice, you know. I'm very careful who I say hello to. I say hello, and she said, Peter, this is Barbara, your sister, and they go, Pete. Woof, you know, I cannot explain you. And then I said, how's Mama? Mama died. And she said, we have ashes, and she wants you to take the ashes back to Stutthof, to the death camp, and spread among the women. And so we went back with my family, some of my members of my family, back to Stutthof. Stutthof today is totally intact still. It's not just a museum and a couple plaques. And we went through everything, and I lost it. When, as soon as we arrived, I started crying and weeping. I couldn't handle it. Inside was too much for me. And I took some of my children with me. My son couldn't comfort me, cried and wept. And my daughters also didn't want to go. We went to the ovens, and with the family members were burned. And then we went through gas chamber. Do you know what gas chamber really is? Most people think that you're going to go to sleep. No, it takes, you know, they will strip you nude. Women and children, like in this case, they put 50 women and children, and they close the doors, and the gas explodes. And every breath you take starts eating you from inside out, your liver, your kidneys, your lungs, and you can't breathe. You're choking on your own blood. It takes 45 minutes to die. And then they take you and they put you in ovens. We went through the operating room. We went to injection table. We went where the women slept. Everything is there. Millions of shoes. You have no clue what millions of shoes is. Different camps got millions and millions of shoes. And I said, let's leave this place. I don't know what, ever want to come back. I become angry and bitter now against everybody. And we stay outside and nice hotel and beside the lake, and I enjoyed it for the first. I had my wife and kids, and I was, you know, just holding on to them, And they tried to comfort me, and they just couldn't. It was too much what I saw, what I went through. And that night, this Yeshua speaks to me. And I start arguing with him. Because we Jews, we like to argue with our God. Mary can tell you, my hands were flying everywhere. And then he always wins. Honestly, folks, he always wins. Don't argue with him. Don't fight with him because he always wins. And it ticks me off because you always have to win. Why? Can I win once? And he just, you know, he said, go back. So I went back and I said, what did I miss? And it was not easy. We went through the pictures and we got to Stutt of Commandus. And right there, when I looked at it, Max Pauli was the first commander. Paul Verhappe was the second commander. And he was the masochist. He was the SS who was trained to kill. Because most of you don't know, in Germany there was a lot of universities who trained SS how to kill, how to massacre, how to dismember human beings and do pain. And from there, I hear this voice, go down on your knees. I said, no. Go down on your knees and forgive them. And I said, point blank, what the hell I did wrong in this earth? And then he reminded me that I broke the Ten Commandments. And I said, which one? Exodus 21:17, honor thy mother, thy father. He who curses mother and father will be put to death. Matthew 15, verse 4 and 5, honor thy mother, thy father. He who curses mother and father will be put to death. And I understood what I did wrong. And then I went down on my knees. Like a Holy Spirit comes, explode. And what happened was, and then I saw German people. I praised them and I forgive them and I asked for forgiveness. And then I saw Russian soldiers standing there on honor guard. And I saw people from all different nationalities. And then I have to forgive. When we left the death camp, after that, I had a massive heart attacks because it was too much. It was too painful to enter to your own death camp because no Holocaust survivor goes back to his own death camps because it's too painful. But we went through what we went through in Poland and Russia under Russian communism. Most people don't have no clue what communism is or socialism is. You get beaten, you get tortured, you get abused. And from there, we just came home. And I thank God for my wife that she always was with me through all this pain and suffering. But this isn't about me, folks. This is about you. So bow your heads for a moment. Bow your heads. Who do you have to forgive? Who hurt you? Who abused you? Would you be able to forgive? Search your heart for a moment. Your heart is like an onion. Who hurt you? Did your mama left you? Did your daddy left you? Did your husband left you? Did your wife abandon you? Who stole the joy of your life? Would you be able to pray for your enemy? In Matthew speaks about it. Pray for your enemy. Do him good so that I can bless you. He wants to bless you, but who hurt you so much that you're bitter, so bitter that you're eating you alive? These are the questions we have to ask. A heart is like an onion. Peel those layers one after the other. You have to peel that layer. That Yeshua saying, peel those layers so that you can be free. Set yourself free today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Cost you nothing. Break those bandage. Break those generational curse that is put on. That's what it's all about. Set yourself free today. Open your heart. Open your heart. Who hurt you so much? Let go. Let go. Dear beloved, if I can let go, you can do it too. So that he can bless you, so that he can pour out the Holy Spirit on you. Right now, today. You don't have to wait tomorrow. If that person hurt you so much, don't hold on to that. Let go. Some of you know that's a sin of sins. Would you be able to forgive? But you don't have to forget. I will never forget. I will never let that happen again. I will lay my life for you. As he lay your life for you, who do you have? Who do you have to forgive? Because you see, testimony, this Bible is nothing but testimony. Man's relationship with God. This God wants to have relationship with you. But you're the one who's blocking it. Because you see, he's calling you his bride. You are his bride. You have to set yourself free because you have to be pure, poor. That's what it's all about. Forgiveness. No matter how much it costs, how much pain is inside of you. I lost, right now, Mother's Day coming up, I lost two mamas that I love so much. And I thank them because both of them give me hope. Don't be angry at your mother and father. You see, because I curse my mother and father. But thank God that God that I love so much says, I will forgive you unless you forgive them. And I forgive. And look at me now. He blessed me with a woman that I love. He blessed me with all of those kids. And believe me, 11 grandkids is a beautiful thing. I just came here, and I'm not too far from here. My grandkids live, two of them, and I have best time with them. So now I organize myself. I speak all over the different places. So I can see my grandkids. And God's blessing me. I have enough. Only thing I want from God so I can live and enjoy my children. And my wife. But who came against you? Who hurt you? Who abused you? Who tortured you? Who steal some joyful life from you? Would you be able to forgive? Come on, give me a hug. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Who hurt you? Who came against you? Let's pray together. Oh, Yeshua, you died on the cross. By the Jewish blood that was spilled for you, Father, we thank you, Father, for everything you have done. We thank you for everything. That pain you suffer. By your stripes we are healed. Father, I believe that. You've shown so many times to me and to my family that you are the healer. You heal me from my heart attacks. You heal me from all those pains and suffering. And also you give me a wonderful family. Therefore, Father, I love you. I thank you for everything you have done for me and what you're going to do. Therefore, Father, I ask you to heal every single soul in this place. Father, not only that, but financially, physically, and emotionally, Father. Give him new hope, new identity, Father. Identity in you. As you die on that cross, you still said, Father, forgive them because they do not know what they're doing. Therefore, Father, I believe that we do not know what we're doing. But we love you so much, we surrender ourselves to you. We're surrendering our bodies and our soul. So that we can be free. Even today, as we can forgive one another. Therefore, Father, that's the moment, precious moment there is, that we set ourselves free so that we can be better human beings. We don't have to forget, but we can forgive. We can pray for our enemies. We will do them good so that we can be blessed by your Spirit in Yeshua's name. Amen? Amen.
We've been blessed tonight. Amen. And we in turn want to bless their ministry and send them forth. And so I've asked Pastor Philip if he would come up and anything he has on his heart to share, and then just pray a blessing over the offering that we're going to receive for the ministry.
This has been a blessing, hasn't it? We're all very blessed, aren't we? Lord God, we thank you for the blessings as you've poured out in our life. Lord, we thank you for that day when your light shone into our lives. And even though our heart was dark and our heart was full of unforgiveness or sin or whatever, you shone into our hearts. And you saved us by your grace because you've forgiven us. So, Lord, we thank you so much for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from our sin. Now, so, Lord, not only have you cleansed us from our sin, you've blessed us. And you've got us here tonight. We're happy. We're alive. We've got breath. We're breathing. And there's you got us up this morning, Lord. You woke us up. We're all very blessed. So, Father God, this message needs to go out. People need to hear it. We've forgotten in our country about history. A lot of people don't know anything about the Holocaust. Lord, the message needs to go out. And we thank you that it's a message of hope in the midst of the darkness of man. So, Father God, we pray that you'd take this offering and bless it. Bless the ones that it's given for, and it's also bless the ones who give it. Lord, that your kingdom may be advanced here tonight. And, Lord, we know you hear us because we pray in that mighty name, that name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
You can make your checks payable to his place. Everything that you give tonight will go to bless their ministry. Remember the tapes, the DVDs. They have a business card with their website as well. Thank you so much for coming tonight. God bless you.